Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Good afternoon, everybody. And I mean everybody. Everywhere. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2011. Wow. Where did the last 5 years go to? Whoo. It seems like just yesterday we were all worried what would happen when the computers switched over to the year 2000.
Y2K.
Yeah, Y2K. What's going to happen to that? Unbelievable. And here it is, 2011. Yikes! Oh, my. A-Gang, great show on tap for you guys today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the Mag Daddy, and gang, welcome to the Power Hour. Back on board, the fabulous Natasha. What's up, baby?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be happier with you around. And, of course, making everything happen, keeping the show live and on track, the Magic Man.
Good to be back, sir. Looking forward to a real big 2011.
Oh, yeah. Zach, guys, in the house. As I said, I'm the Mac Daddy, and this is the Power Hour, gang. And we're listening to one of my favorite, if I have to say, smooth jazz performers. We're listening to one of my favorites, Gerald Albright. And he is an unusual story, and I'm going to tell you lots about Gerald Albright. He's a California guy, but I met him in Chicago, and I'm going to tell you a lot about Gerald. And an interesting guy, and actually, in a way, is responsible for me playing guitar today. So you're going to meet the saxophonist Gerald Albright. You're listening to him right now. Mostly known for being a smooth jazz performer, but you've got some real surprises coming at you. So our musical guest host, Gerald Albright. We're going to have our in-studio call-in guest. You know what? You're going to love this interview with Gwendolyn Hall. What an interesting individual. One of the pioneers of women's taekwondo. One of the pioneer performers. You're going to find out all about her and what makes her tick, okay? So stay tuned for that. Well, you know what? On tap today, it's all about goal setting, as it should be at the beginning of the year. It's all about goal setting. My early topic is just going to be some interesting points about goal setting. And our main topic is going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago when we finished up step number four. So we're going to pick up with step number five, have a quick review. Okay, so, wow, welcome back. Sorry we missed last week, folks. Just makes you miss us a little bit and get you wanting more of us. Welcome to all the new listeners. We got an email. We got listeners up in, Canada. We got Canada checking in. So anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to 2011 and welcome to the new phase, a new era in your life. Wow. Wow. Exciting show. I'm very excited about it. Let's talk about the weather here in Phoenix. Should we? You know, but you know what? We really can't talk about the way it is right now. We have to balance things out by bringing up what happened last week. Natasha, you know, it was so cold that there was actually snow in some parts of the valley, I mean snow, there was freezing temperatures. In fact, there was a puddle of water outside the house where you just the day before had washed. No, maybe it was rain. It was frozen, Zach. It was frozen. It was ice. I mean, not solidly through, but there were ice crystals across the top of the water.
I know on Saturday, yeah. I was driving up north and not far out of town, but I could see on the horizon towards like Cave Creek and everything. There was a bunch of snow on the mountains out there.
Yeah, you can look up there and up north and see on top of some of the mountains that we've got surrounding the valley, and that we've got snow. So we had snow. We had some temperatures in the upper 20s in some parts of the valley last week, and around where we live, it was in the middle 30s. So we had some cold weather for us here in the valley, and highs last week only in the mid to upper 40s. Can you believe it? Wow.
I was using my Snuggie, sir.
You know, I wasn't going to mention that. I wasn't going to mention that. We may have to start calling him Snuggie instead of the Magic Man. I mean, he got a Snuggie for Christmas, and that's what he's talking about. I'm not sure I would have brought that up.
That's cute. That's very cute.
It is very
cute. The weather was very cold, unbelievably cold.
This Mr. Snuggie Bear.
we'll go with Magic Man.
Mr. Snuggie Bear. Which one did you get? You get the pink one? What did you get? What color did you get?
I was looking for the manly camouflage but I got a nice zebra.
Zebra.
That's cute. Very stylish.
The zebra.
Zebra leopard. Very style now.
Oh, boy. I can just see now. I'm going to get four of them in the mail this week. I swear to God. You know, all I have to do is mention something on this show and something happens. I swear to you, I'm going to get four of them. Please don't. Okay. Oh, my. All right. Welcome to the Power Hour on Wednesday, January 5th. Oh, my. It is now exactly 6 minutes past the hour, gang. 6 minutes past the hour here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. A beautiful day, 61 degrees and sunny. How about where you are? Okay. How about where you are? Okay. Oh, Snuggie Bear. Don't you like that? Magic Man sounds better, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Matches the beard a little bit. I can just see it with that little beard wrapped up in his Snuggie. Can't you see that, folks? Oh, boy. First up on our show today, shout-outs. Oh, boy. Oh, my. Yes, shout-outs. Andy out in Spain, how you doing? Happy New Year. And to Al down in South FLA, a shout out going your way. Larry and Kimmy, Veronica G out in the Philippines. What up? Peter is back in the house. Had his first workout Tuesday night. Monday night. I'm sorry. Had Monday night back in the house, starting the year off right. To Peter and the Bevzilla, shout out coming your way. And of course, Jeff out in Chandler selling those Benzes. Wow. DZ. Out in Michigan, Barry and all the Taekwondo crew up in Chicago, Nick and the boys, all the folks up in Denver where it's snowing as we speak. Okay, shout outs. There you go. As usual, we love to do our shout outs. Oh, by the way, gang, if you want to send me an email, send it to 7, the number 7, spelled out SEVEN at macnewton.com. Update, update, update. You know what we need to get? Zach, we need to get a sound effect for updates. You know what I mean? Like they used to do on those old silent movies, special stuff coming in. We need something like that to signal our update. Wouldn't that be cool, Natasha, have something like that?
That sounds cool.
Yeah, sounds
cool.
See
what I got in my bag of tricks.
Yeah, you got your bag of tricks. See what the Magic Man comes up with. So anyway, update. Online workouts, absolutely unbelievable. Scheduled to be unveiled, released, debuted, whatever you want to call it, tomorrow. Tomorrow, at some point tomorrow, our deadline is tomorrow, and we are right on deadline, on track to be unveiled tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. I'm just excited. I can hardly contain myself. This is unbelievable. So anyway, that's our main update for right now. If you want to sign up for our newsletters and get your updates on via email, Don't forget, send me another email. Or just log on to the website, and you can just sign up for email updates. Just put your name and email address and press submit, and it will come and right to my desk, okay? But check the website on tomorrow, and if nothing else, just go through and see what it looks like. I think you're going to absolutely love it. We're going to have a couple little glitches here and there, but that's okay. You know, you get it started, and you fix it up as you go. Not to worry, okay? Now, my early segment for today, since we're all about goal setting today, that's what we're, it's the whole thing we're doing is all about goal setting. You know, you and I, everyone, we are right now the people we want to be, or at least we are the person we wanted to be in the past. You are the person you have willed yourself to be. You are the person you prefer to be right now. Now, if you happen not to like that person that you are, if you would like, if you would somehow want to be different than you are, you've got to change the way you think right now. You've got to change your goals, adjust your values perhaps. If you want to arrive at a better place, if you refuse to continue with more and more of the same, you can arrive at a better place. Setting goals is the way that you can change all that. But make no mistake about it, you've arrived at this place by design. Nothing is random in life. Your thinking, your choices have brought you to right where you are, good, bad, or indifferent. I learned a long time ago that all of suffering is the result of bad choices. It all comes down to that, bad choices. So our choices are set up, of course, by our thinking. And our thinking is largely determined by the goals we set. That's why we've been talking about goal setting for the last month or so. And we may continue to talk about it for the next 2 months. Oh, I'll go on and on. So understand this. When you change your thinking, your attitude towards yourself and the whole world is adjusted to be more of what you want, to be more accepting. You develop a more watchful and penetrating insight. You see things as they are, not as you wish they were. This is not indifference. It's not resignation. It's wisdom. It starts with you changing your thinking. Okay? Change your thinking. Just my early segment today is just some various thoughts on goal setting. You know, one of the key elements, I believe, to goal setting is to understand that the challenges and the difficulties of life are great, and that the battles we have to fight just to live, not to mention growing, are fierce indeed. Our goals, our dreams, the rewards of life are all uncertain. They're kind of like smoke in the wind, you know? And so much like that, that people can be seen today just cracking under the strain. If your aim is to be strong, if your aim is to fulfill your possibilities, if your aim is to be steady, if your aim is to be dependable, then you need two things. You need faith. You need faith. You need that strong belief that faith is. You need faith that you deserve the best. You need faith and belief that you can do it. No doubt that it can be done, and no doubt that it can be done by you. Okay? Just some things to inspire you and to get you focused into a new habit of becoming an obsessive goal setter, constantly setting goals. like me. I had two goals that were on my agenda for later this year. Later this year, 2011. That this is the fifth day of the year. And because I started writing it down last year, it's already accomplished. It's major. Major. And with the accomplishment of it today, it gave birth to a brand new one. I can't share it with the audience just yet, but I will soon. I do this show so that I can inspire myself to think that way and share this with the world. I want you to have the same feeling of excitement, the same feelings of anticipation as I do every single day. Every single day. Hey gang, my name is Mac Newton. The fabulous Natasha is sitting in here. This is the Power Hour. The Magic Man is over there. Our musical guest host. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him here. Where's my notes? Tell you a little bit about before we go to break. To give you a little bit about Mr. Gerald Albright. As I said, he was a California kid. South Central LA. He went to college in California and got a BA in business, believe it or not. And he minored in music. So he's a musical guy. And I want to tell you something. When after he finished college, he really started playing with some of the great musicians of our time. Check this out. How about Ray Parker Jr.? You might remember him. Wrote the songs for Ghostbusters. Ray Parker Jr. Patrice Rashawn. You hear her all the time on Smooth Jazz. The Winans. Olivia Newton-John, okay, Jeff Lober. You know, sadly enough, we lost a major player that Gerald Albright was very much involved with. Last week, we lost Tina Marie. You know, Tina Marie, you know, the Ebony Queen of Soul. I mean, I'm sorry, the Ivory Queen of Soul. And we may know her most for her collaborations with Rick James, Fire and Desire. But her career as a singer, a soul singer, R&B singer, and an electric bass player. Unbelievable. Tina Marie, we miss you. So, getting back to Gerald Albright's collaborations and people he played with, Marlena Shaw, you know, Quincy Jones, Whitney Houston, Phil Collins. I mean, you know, that's quite a resume of talent. You can hear some of them on this album. Will Downing in the background right now. Jonathan Butler. Hugh Masekela, a trumpeter from South Africa. Chaka Khan and Rochelle Farrell. Someone we've featured right here on the Power Hour. That's just to name a few. He's also been on TV. You may, you know, the sort of a very strong-looking, bald-headed black gentleman. You've seen him on A Different World, Melrose Place. So, in addition to doing jazz segments on BET on cable, and with someone that I worked with back in the day in Chicago when I had some jobs, Meshack Taylor worked also with Gerald Albright, and that's where we first met. That's a long time ago. He was a very young man, and in fact, so was I. Well, I want to tell you what, he's capable of playing contemporary, straight ahead jazz, as well as, you know, smooth jazz. But here's really the cool thing. One day, he started taking piano lessons, and he became very proficient at an early age. He didn't want to give up the saxophone, so he became proficient as a piano player and a saxophonist, and he uses the piano to compose his music on. But here's kind of a cool thing. One day, he had this desire to pick up electric bass guitar. Never with any experience at all. And started playing. I guess he saw a performance by Louis Johnson. Now, you may remember that name from the Johnson Brothers, you know? Get the funk out of my face, you know? Get the funk out of my face. Okay. Natasha's over there grimacing. All right. One day we're going to have you sing here, darling. So anyway, Louis Johnson, the bass guitarist of the Johnson Brothers with Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones produced that, those two. Well, he watched Louis Johnson in a concert. A few months later, he was playing bass guitar, electric bass guitar. So much so, this is legendary. He was in a concert, and in the middle of the concert, the bass guitarist got sick. And Albright had been playing earlier, had been on stage earlier. The bass guitarist of an act got sick, and so Albright went out and replaced him and finished the set on bass guitar. And from then on, sometimes he would play both instruments during a concert. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Anyway, there you have it. A little bit something about Gerald Albright. One of my, just a really good guy. Gerald Albright, add this one to your collection. Again, you guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back with Gwendolyn Hall, a pioneer in women's taekwondo, right after these messages.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. A little bit more of our musical guest host, Gerald Albright. I know you're enjoying that. You know, in addition, one of the things I left out when I was giving you his bio, as you listen to this would be a smooth jazz collaboration. Besides the music and the acting, he's also a family man. You know, he's got married to his high school sweetheart. You rarely see that in the music business. And they've got two children. So he's very much involved in in charitable events, American Cancer Society, parenting groups, and a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. So, a very interesting guy. So, when you get a chance, if he comes to your area, and you get a chance to see him in concert, be sure you do. And if you get a chance to talk to him, tell him Mac Daddy said hi. Well, as I promised you earlier in the show, we have a very special guest on tap today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Those of you who are not familiar with the martial arts world, and particularly the world of Taekwondo, may have never heard this name, Gwendolyn Hall. Well, I want to tell you something. You're not going to forget that after today. She's one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And I've met people all around the world for a long, long time. Let me just start with one thing. This should tell you all you need to know. Gwen Hall was the very first female competitor to win a national championship once the International Taekwondo Federation was formed under its current format in Chicago. And she has continued to train consistently ever since. Right now, she is still actively training, getting ready to take her 7th degree master's test any day now. I mean, it's amazing. During the time that I've known her, she has, in fact, this is really kind of amazing. When I met Gwen Hall, she was already a black belt in Taekwondo, and I was a green belt. So you might ask yourself, then how did the ranks get reversed? Well, at the time, Gwen was in the Navy. You're going to find all this. Just a minute. Let me just give you a heads up. Gwen was in the Navy and traveling all around. and got separated from her different instructors and her training with me. And she had a career in the Navy, an over 20-year career as a naval officer. You wonder, how do you do all this in one lifetime? You haven't heard anything yet. So, but still, through all of that, she has maintained her training. She's a technician. She's a master of technique. She's a master instructor. She has majors in anthropology and geology. She's a counterterrorism specialist, was for the United States Navy. She's so much. I could go on and on. Gwen, welcome to the Power Hour. Gwen Hall, welcome him here.
Well, hello, Mac. I'm glad to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And we are introducing you literally to the whole world right now that is not aware of Gwen Hall, because the Power Hour is heard in over 30 different countries, Gwen. And there may be some people, because you've been practically everywhere. I mean, you've been to South America, you've been to the Far East. There may be some people you've trained who are listening and being reacquainted with you again.
Well, that would be something.
You know, Gwen, I kind of gave people just an overview, and I'm just enough to wet their whistle. Let me ask you this simple question. With all the things you've done, I mean, the anthropology, the naval career, your hobby of paleontology, your study of geology, your continual study of Taekwondo, what was the driving force for you that kept you moving, I mean, outside of Taekwondo, in your life?
Well, excuse me for clearing my throat, allergies kicking up. I'm kind of a tomboy, Mac, and my dad and my mother realized that I wasn't the typical little girl that was going to wear skirts with bows, and they encouraged me to be myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my dad was a naval aviator in World War II, received the Congressional Medal of Honor for action in the Battle of the Coral Sea.
Hold on, let's back up just a little bit now. Your dad was a naval aviator.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you said something right after that. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Yes, he was a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient. Yes.
Wow. Tell us about that, Gwen.
Well, he flew scouting planes, and they were in the South Pacific, and they were looking for the Japanese fleet, and it was around the it was in the Coral Sea. And May 7th and 8th is when the battle occurred. And he spotted the fleet. He reported it. And he got into some bat tactics. He was in a scouting plane and got into dogfights with some of the Japanese aviators in their Zeros. And a scouting plane's not a fighter. It had a little 30 caliber machine gun mounted on it. And he got in dogfights with those guys and shot down three of them. And then the next day, in a torpedo dive bomber, he was involved in action, the same battle, and helped sink the Japanese carrier.
What was your dad's name, Gwen?
William E. Hall.
William E. Hall, Congressional Medal of Honor winner. What a lineage for you. And your mom was also very much involved in your upbringing, in your life early on?
Oh, yes. She was a naval nurse, and that's kind of how they met, sort of Hollywood, after he was all shot up in that battle. And wound up in the Naval Hospital in San Diego, and my mother was the charge nurse on his floor.
That is high kind of Hollywood. Your father is a pilot and gets shot up and then meets his future bride in the hospital, and she's a Navy nurse. Wow, that's amazing. Next thing you know, hello, Gwen.
Yeah, wow. And but anyway, so they were both achievers. They came from families of achievers. I was very blessed, very fortunate to be brought up and raised in such a home.
Now, let's move ahead just a little bit. Let's talk about your early training in Taekwondo. How, since being a female in those days, it was not considered to be the thing for young girls to do. Now, even today, it's frowned upon a bit, but it's accepted more. For you, it had to be completely something you did alone. How'd you do that?
Well, I got a stubborn streak. to say the least. It started in college. Taekwondo really wasn't in the United States back then, about 1963.
Yeah, I remember.
And the college put an announcement in the newspaper. They were starting a martial arts club to do demonstrations at halftimes at basketball games and so forth. And they said the requirement was to be a fully matriculated student. Well, I showed up, and I was the only girl amongst 30 guys. And the club president came over and said, what are you here for? And I says, I want to be part of this club. I want to do this. And it was a karate style, a Japanese style.
Right.
And he said, well, you can't. And I said, well, why not? He says, for girls only. I said, that's not what the newspaper says. And I had it right there in my hand. And I said, it says fully matriculated student. That's me. Here I am. Grumble. Okay, go stand in the back row. So that's what I did.
That's how you got started in karate, which led you to eventually training in Taekwondo.
Yeah, when I finished school and took my first job, which was, at that time I was not in the Navy, I was working at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago.
Let's back up just a little bit. Okay, you're working at the Field Museum for Natural History in Chicago.
Yes, right out of college.
Right out of college, and your major there was?
I was working in the paleontology division, fixing, repairing, conserving dinosaur bones.
So this was kind of like just a desire, a hobby, something you wanted to do lifelong was to study?
It was, to do martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking around for the style I had been doing in college.
No, I was talking about paleontology. That was something that...
Sorry.
Yes.
Yes, I'd always been interested in dinosaurs. Even as a little bitty kid, I'd go around collecting up the rocks and dragging them into the garage. My dad, bless his heart, he built shelves in the garage wherever we were, and I'd drag in old horse bones and wire the things together. And so I studied that in school. You really couldn't get a degree in paleontology back then, so I majored in geology and anthropology.
Ah, I see.
About as close as I could get. And then I got hired at the Field Museum right out of college and went to work up in their laboratories up there, conserving and putting together and repairing the various bones, both for research and ones on the exhibit floors.
Now, that's what you were doing when we met.
Yes, sir.
That's what we were doing when we met, and you were training and teaching up at Great Lakes, which is north of Chicago, and you were training going to drive into Rockford, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what distance that was, but you were driving to Rockford, Illinois. I was driving up. I was living there at the time and training with Mr. Sankeyan.
Yes,
who was the 16-year black belt.
I had met when he was originally in Chicago.
I see, on Sheridan Road.
Right.
Exactly.
Moved to Rockford, mm-hmm. And I just followed.
Yes, and I remember. Do you remember the day we met, Gwen?
Oh yes, very well.
Tell the audience about that very first day. It was kind of different. The very first day we met.
Well, let's see. We were at the Dojong, and Mr. Un had scheduled some demonstrations. He used to put on demonstrations for birthday parties and things like that, and he had, I guess, two or three of them going. And he came over and says, Gwen, you and Mac go over and do a demonstration over at this house. I don't remember where it was exactly. And that's how we met. So mm-hmm. We got together and did a little one-step sparring and did some things, and somehow we just clicked.
And that's, it's very unusual for a green belt, which I was at the time, in Taekwondo, to be working out with a black belt, which Gwen was at the time. What an interesting start. And it started to a collaboration that lasted, that has lasted for a lifetime so far, Gwen. Literally a lifetime.
It's amazing.
It is truly amazing. What drives you today? What, like I told the audience, that you are now in training for your official master's recognition. In my mind and in the mind of all the true black belts in Taekwondo, you already hold that rank. But because of your travels and all these other things, you've not had the opportunity to test. You're now in training to do that. What drives you on to do that?
Well, I wish I had a fancy answer. I don't. It's just something I really enjoy. I enjoy the physical fitness, I enjoy the beauty, I enjoy the practicality of self-defense, and it's just something I like to do, and I want to keep doing it. I like teaching. I like helping people, Mac. Mm-hmm. Most of my students come to me with problems. They're older, or they have a handicap or something like that, and I love working with them and see them get their physical health, get around their handicap, whatever it might be, and make them healthier, happier people.
Gwen, what do you think has been the main reason you and I have been friends for so long?
I don't know, Mac. I don't know whether it's our personalities, common interest, common drive, or the desire to stick with something and be the best at it. I really don't know. It just clicked.
Well, because we're friends on so many different levels. We started an organization, the American Taekwondo Coalition, some years ago, back in the early 80s, to provide a place where black belts could go, American black belts who were disenfranchised and their instructors were no longer available for them. And we provided this home base for them, this place for them to go and receive instruction from certified instructors like ourselves, and to feel that they were connected to something. We did that together. We trained together one-on-one up at Great Lakes, overlooking the huge gym. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yes, very, very much.
I mean, we're there, we took pictures and we trained and we met other martial artists up there. It's been a truly a lifetime of friendship. A lifetime of friendship.
I was thinking about that, and if I do a little bit of fast math, I think we met somewhere around 1967, mm-hmm. Somewhere along in there. And so here it is, 2011. So that is a lifetime.
It is a lifetime, Glenn. It is truly a lifetime. And very few people can attest to the type of relationships we've been to, the tournaments we've seen, the miles we've traveled. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show to expose people to several areas of our relationship. The drive that you've demonstrated, the various interests that you've had that are so different, and for you to not limit yourself because you're a female, your accomplishments, your academic accomplishments. I mean, I can go on and tell you that she instructed the Army and Navy quick reaction teams, emergency response units for civil disturbance, riot control procedures. She has conducted seminars and classes on self-defense tactics, police baton and prisoner apprehension compliance procedures. I mean, she is very, very understated in herself talking about her accomplishments, but truly, you may be talking to someone that we'll never see again, with the broad spectrum of interests and accomplishments. And again, to your dad, my thanks go out to him and for his service to the country, and you, a 20-year service veteran. And I really appreciate you being on our show here today.
Well, thank you, Mac, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Well, we'll do it again soon, so we can talk more about your experiences in Taekwondo, some of your tournament experiences, to listen to some of the advice that you may have to give to people, young girls like yourself, I mean, like you, maybe who want to start a career in sport or martial arts. Zach is giving me the signal with the music in the background, which you probably can't hear, saying it's time for us to move to our next break. But Gwen, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I hope you enjoyed it. We certainly did.
Thank you, Mac.
You take care now. Happy New Year, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, gang, I hope you enjoyed listening to the interview with Gwendolyn Hall, retired Navy Lieutenant Gwendolyn Hall. As you can tell from listening, a woman of many, many accomplishments, coming from a family of accomplished people, service-minded, serving their country. Wow, is all that I can say. All right, gang, it is now exactly 35 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Power Hour. It's time for our break at the bottom of the hour. We're a little past it, but what the heck? You guys stay right where you are. We're listening to now, I'm sure, your friend as well as mine, Gerald Albright. The fabulous Natasha is sitting in. been a little quiet today. Are you still over there, darling?
I'm here, yes. I'm listening to the fascinating story of Gwen's life. It's just unbelievable.
It is amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
It is a Hollywood story.
You know what? And when you meet her in person, it's much the same. You want to just sit down and listen to the stories that she tells and the places that she's been and the students that she's trained. It's a very interesting story about her life. Very much Hollywood. You know, like they say, real life always outstrips anything that you can make up. So anyway, but Natasha's sitting over there waiting to get back into our next step on goal setting, which is step number 5. The Magic Man is going to take us to break. We'll be right back. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to talk to you about success. Predictable success, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. A comfortable feeling that you know that you're going to reach the potential that the Creator put in you at the start. And that's what we do here at the Power Hour. And when you're not listening to us and following up on the things we're talking about, you can go to www.macnewton.com, where I've got essays, where I've got previous Power Hour shows you can listen to, and very soon, I mean within the next month or so, you'll be able to download workouts. That's right. Whether you're a rank beginner or you're getting ready for the Grand Canyon State Games or even the Olympics, or you want to try out for the Arena Football League, you'll be able to work out with the Mac Daddy and get in shape with the best in the business. All at www.macnewton.com. That's where the winners go. Hey gang, welcome back. I know some of these songs sound familiar to you. They should. Gerald Albright, a fixture on smooth jazz. You know, I wanted to ask Gwen, I wanted to ask her, what did she think of Jurassic Park and those movies, you know, being a paleontologist and all. I wonder if she found those movies interesting or just a... you know, so much boiled water, you know. But anyway, more for us to talk about next time we get Gwen here as our guest on the Power Hour. We're going to get back to our main topic now, which is goal setting. Continue to up to step number 5, which Natasha is waiting for with bated breath because she loves the topic of goal setting and she loves to take notes. Is that right, darling?
That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Number 5. Okay.
Well, let's take a step back to number 4 for just a moment. Okay. Let me just put everybody on the spot here without those notes there in front of you. Let's ask the question. Natasha, what was step number 4?
Well, what my note says, the key element of the goal settings, the challenge.
Okay, now step number 4. What did I say was step number 4? Zach, you got that one for me? Wow, I'm putting everyone on the spot today.
Well, actually, I have it till the 3.
Till step, so you didn't get step number 4.
I missed that show. And the key element you were talking about earlier, okay. That's my number four.
That's your, no, that wasn't step number 4. That was just some miscellaneous things we talked about, goal setting. But step number 3 was writing it down, correct?
Yes,
writing it down.
Because
now,
the wish is a goal with no energy.
Energy behind it, exactly. You're
got
on
that
time.
Right.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did. Right on top of that. Now, Let's do a quick review on step number four because you did miss that.
Okay.
Step number four. Make a list. Make a list of all the ways that you're going to benefit from achieving your goal. Make a list of all the ways you're going to benefit from achieving this goal. I'm going to tell you something. Desire, I use the word that desire is the great motivator. An interesting word, motivating. Zach, what is the root of the word motivation?
Motive.
Correct. Motive. Another word for motive is reason. Reason. What is your reason for wanting to do this? You see, Zach, if you've got two reasons to go after something, and I have 20 reasons, irrespective of our particular talents, I'm going to get there first. I'm going to get there first. Why? I have more reasons. I have more reasons. I have more intensity of purpose. It's the why. They're the forces that intensify your desire. It drives you forward. You need a list of all the ways that you're going to benefit. That's the key word. A list of all the benefits. Why do you want the goal? How's your life going to be different? It's like a salesman's act. A salesman is going to give you all the benefits of this particular product. You want that control board over this one because it has more benefits. It has more features. It has more thing to make your life better. And you're thinking, I got to have it. I can't live without it. Benefits tell you that. And that's what goals do to you. It wants you, makes you want to change your life. The reasons why. Okay. When you have big reasons for achieving your major goal, you develop an intensity of purpose that makes you irresistible to your goal. It makes you irresistible. And if your reasons are big enough and your belief is solid enough, nothing can stop you. You will become a force of nature. Nothing will be able to stop you. For right now, here's what your job is. Your job is to keep your desire burning by continually thinking of all these benefits, continually thinking of how you're going to be rewarded and how you're going to enjoy the results of achieving this goal. Think of all those benefits. Now, I realize that each person is excited and motivated by different things. I mean, for example, some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by the possibility of living in big houses and driving big cars and beautiful cars. And others are motivated by recognition, by status and prestige. And others are motivated by doing things to just improve the status quo. Everyone. And then some people have a myriad of motivations, have a combination of different things. A little of this, a little of that. Doesn't matter as long as it's your motivation. As long as it's your motivation and not a motivation that someone else wants for you. You should want this because that's not your motivation. That's not going to give you any energy because you don't really want it. I want you to do such and such a thing. I want you to want. No, you can't do that. It only works when I want it. So make a list of all the benefits. And it has to be at least 20. 20 will drive you forward. Once you get into five and 10 will come off of your, will come out of your brain very easy. Five or 10 ways that you want something. But then you get to 15 and 20. Now you get into the real suit. Now you get into the really creative reasons why you want it. These are the real ones. The ones you could never think of unless you have already spawned this brainstorming. Mindstorming that creates unique creativity. So make a list. You'll find that the longer your list, the more motivated, the more determined you become. If you only have one or two reasons, as I said, for achieving a goal, I mean, you'll have a moderate level of motivation. You'll be you will get some movement, but when the going gets tough, as it surely will, you'll be easily discouraged. If you have 20 or 30 reasons for achieving the goal, you'll become irresistible. Nothing can discourage you. Nothing can dissuade you from keeping on until you accomplish. Nothing can stop you at all. Nothing can keep you from what you want. Nothing. Okay, step number five. We're moving forward now. Step number five. Analyze your current position. Analyze your current position. Where are you? We need a starting point. Okay, step number one, desire. Step number two, belief. Got to believe in two ways. You got to believe you deserve it. You got to believe you got what it takes to get it. Step number three, write it down. Unless you write it down, it's nothing but a wish. Step number four, make a list of all the benefits of how you are going to benefit, of all the ways you're going to benefit from receiving this goal. Write it down. It'll keep your desire burning brightly. Step number five, analyze your current position. Where are you now? If you want to lose weight, first thing you got to do is weigh yourself. If you want to achieve a certain net worth, the first thing you have to do, sit down and create a personal financial statement to find out how much you're worth today. How much are you worth? Determining your starting point also gives you a baseline from which you can measure your progress. Hey gang, I cannot overemphasize that the clearer you are about where you're coming from and where you want to go, the more likely it is you're going to end up there. Step number six. Okay, we're rolling now, gang. Set a deadline. This is the killer. This is the really, really important steps. One of the important steps. Step number six, set a deadline. You have to set deadlines on all tangible, measurable goals, such as increases in your income, how much money you make, your income, your net worth, or losing pounds, or running a certain number of miles, doing a certain number of push-ups, that sort of thing. Now, I don't want you to set deadlines on intangible goals, such as the development of patience, perhaps, or discipline, kindness, compassion, okay? Or, in other words, other personal qualities. When you set a deadline for a tangible goal, you program it into your mind and you activate your subconscious, what I call the forcing system. When you put a deadline in there, this is more than discipline, Zach. It's like it forces you to do things. It forces action. You set a deadline. I've got to do it now. I've got to be able to do this now. It's a subconscious forcing system that forces things out of you. Got to set a deadline. When it's going to be done. Our deadline for our online program to go live tomorrow. Now, when you set a deadline for that tangible goal, and you it's like you program it in your mind, and it activates that forcing system. It's the best thing I can come up with. Okay? Now, people sometimes resist setting deadlines. You know why? You know why people sometimes won't set a deadline? And they won't. Because they're afraid. They're afraid that they will not achieve their goal by the time of the deadline. And that means that they'll, because they think if they leave it vague or they don't set a deadline, that they'll avoid the discouragement that they would ordinarily feel. So rather than feel discouraged by setting a deadline and not meeting it, they won't set one at all. And as soon as you don't set a deadline, you don't activate your forcing system. You're not forced to work. You're not forced to do things. And you sort of meander around until the goal just goes away. It just disappears. Now, it's not going to disappear with us because we rewrite it all the time. But don't resist setting the deadline. If you set a goal and you set a deadline and you don't achieve it by the deadline, what do you do? Simple. You set another. you set another deadline. It, you know what it means when you don't reach your deadline? It just means you guessed wrong. That's all. It means you're not quite ready yet. That's all it means. You were overly optimistic. And if you don't achieve your goal by the new deadline, now what do? You set another one. You set another one. And another one. And another one. You know, I've got a good friend. His name is Don Hudson. He reviewed my book and wrote some really nice things on the cover for my last book. And he's a sales trainer. And we've talked about this subject quite a bit. He says, Mac, there are no unrealistic goals, only unrealistic deadlines. So set your deadline. But I would say in probably 80 or more percent of all cases, if your goals are realistic and your plans are well made and detailed, and if you work your plans, you're going to come real close to that deadline. You're either going to make it right on deadline or you're going to be very close. Okay? Now, here's one other point. Here's another point. You know, I've talked about how to get your major definite purpose. You remember that, Zach? I know you remember that. The major definite purpose, the number one arcing goal, overarching goal over all the others. We chose it from selecting one from each one of the three categories. And we made that number one goal. And we're only using these 12 steps on the major definite purpose. So if your major definite purpose has a 2-3 or maybe a 5-year deadline, what you want to do is you want to break this goal down into 90-day deadlines. 90-day deadlines. So you set your first goal. So it's an overarching goal for 2 years. So rather than just set your deadline for 2 years, now you're going to set a goal for a certain part of it 90 days from now. And then you're going to break that 90 days down into 30-day increments. So you're always working on a where you're being forced by time deadlines. You're working toward what I call mini goals, M-I-N-I, mini goals, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 90 days. Now you reset another one. Before you know it, you're there. But that 2 years or 3 years is too broad for you to manage it. We're going to break it down into 90-day increments. So you've got your major goal out there as your Mount Everest, you know, out there, the big one, okay? And you can, but then you can, you know, set more realistic short and medium-term goals that enable you to make progress. All right? Okay. Now, number 7. It's our last one for the day because it's now about 7 minutes before the hour, gang. 7 minutes before the hour of 6 on a beautiful sunny afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. I can see that Lisa has stepped back into her office and is catching up while we are in the studio. Zach's behind the glass and Natasha's sitting across from me at the desk, writing down in her notebook with her headphones on and smiling, saying hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. I can say it.
Okay.
Yes,
oh, boy.
I'm
yeah.
ready to finish my goal.
Did you have a nice Christmas? Zach, did you have a good Christmas? I mean, did you get anything besides the Snuggie?
Absolutely. I got a nice limited edition that Wii console. It's got some of the exercise games,
oh,
the new Mario.
Okay.
And
limited edition, huh?
Yeah, it's all red console. I was pretty happy. Yeah. I got a bicycle myself for some more exercise and some good
now you're
going
to have to set some fitness related goals to use that that equipment that you got.
Indeed.
Gosh. Natasha, how was you? Was Santa Claus good to you?
Oh, my Santa Claus was wonderful. The best.
No, the best Christmas ever, huh?
The best Christmas ever.
Oh, my. The best Christmas ever.
I wish every girl can have Christmas like I did.
Wow. Huh, well, I tell you,
I had
a good Christmas too. I didn't get a Snuggie, but you know what? Maybe next time. It's always next time to get that Snuggie. You know,
we're talking about goals. You know,
I write it down.
Major.
I write right overarching. I want to get that zebra Snuggie bear. You know, I better stop that. I'm going to get one of those in the mail. Don't do it, folks. Please don't. Okay. Don't send me one. That's how I got that lamp.
That's okay. I'll use the Snuggie.
You use the Snuggie. That's how I got that lamp. Talking about, Christmas story. All right, let's finish up here, gang, with step 7. Make a list. of all the obstacles that stand between you and the accomplishment of your goal. Make a list of all the obstacles that stand between you and your goal. Get this straight. Wherever great success is possible, great obstacles will be there. Okay? As a matter of fact, obstacles are the flip side of success. If there are no obstacles between you and your goal, then it's probably not a goal at all. What it is an exercise. It's going out in your backyard to shoot baskets. It's going for a walk. There's no obstacles against that, okay? But if you are going, if you have a goal, if you have a goal, then you're going to have obstacles. So make sure that you make a list that of all the ones you can think of. And when you have listed every obstacle you can think of, organize that list in terms of importance. Listen closely, gang. We're talking about setting a deadline and making this list of all the obstacles. We are talking about the important elements now. What is the biggest single obstacle that stands between you and your goal? This is your big rock. This is your big rock. You know, when you're on your path to achieving your goals or anything worthwhile, you're going to experience a series of obstacles, lots of detours, lots of roadblocks, but almost invariably, there is one big rock. There's one major obstacle that lies in your path. It blocks your progress. It's this rock that you got to focus on. You got to get rid of that rock, that big one, before you get sidetracked dealing with smaller things. People spend their lives dealing with little pebbles and little rocks and little grains of sand. They spend all day working on that. And you know what? That big rock is still there. That big rock is still sitting there in front of them. People can work all day. Work hard, at the end of the day, done nothing. You know why? They've been working on those trivial little nothing jobs. And that big rock, the big job that's supposed to have been done, has not been. So when we're dealing in goal setting, we've got to figure out what is going to be the big obstacle. Okay, let me just give you this real quick. I hope I don't run over with this, but if we do, we do. Let's imagine I got this huge jar. It's 3 foot tall, 3 foot big mouth jar. Okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill this jar is up with rocks. I'm gonna put all the rocks inside of this jar. Okay? All the way up to the top. Natasha, is it full?
Yes.
You think it's full? Zach, you think it's full?
Well, I mean, we could, you know, throw some sand or something in there, pack it in all the little cracks and spaces.
Yes or no, is it full?
No.
Okay then, that's all I want. Yes or no. It's not full. It's not full. So I'm gonna reach underneath my desk. Now I'm gonna grab a bag of gravel. And I'm going to start pouring the gravel all over the top of these rocks. The gravel is going to run in between all the cracks, all the crevices. And it's going to start filling up from the bottom up. And I level it off at the top. Now, Zach, is it full?
I'll still say no.
You'll still say no. Natasha?
Sounds full to me.
It's not full. Now, it's not full. There's still space in there. I'm going to grab a bag of sand, really fine sand that I got off the beach at Acapulco. So I'm going to start pouring that sand all around all the gravel, all around all the big rocks, all around everything on the bottom of it. And it starts filling up, and you can't see anything inside now but sand. It fills up all the way to the top. I smooth it out. Now, Natasha, is it full?
It is.
You think it's full?
Sounds about as full as possible now.
It's not full.
You can put something on the top.
I'm going to reach under my desk and over here, and I'm going to grab a big container of water. Now I'm going to start pouring the water in. I'm going to start pouring the water, and the water goes all the way down to the bottom. It fills in every little nook and cranny between the rocks and the gravel and the sand, and it comes all the way up, and it starts to overflow across the top, and I smooth it out. Zach, is it full?
I'm thinking it's full.
Natasha, is it full?
I can put something on the top, I guess.
No, is the jar full?
The jar is full.
The jar is full. The jar is full. Some people might argue, I can dissolve some salt into it. I can dissolve. No, you can't. You know why? Because the salt's a mineral, and you're just displacing water. It's full, okay? Jar is now full. What's the moral of the story? Zach, moral of the story is? Natasha, moral of the story?
But it's never fool till you think it through. And
okay,
there's
fine.
Always more stuff.
I understand. That could be one way we look at this. But you know what? It's not the moral of the story I'm looking for. Based on what I just said before I told that, when I was saying to you, when you make this list of all your obstacles, you want to identify your big rocks. Now, if you want, in this jar, when it's full, it's full. The moral of the story is, put your big rocks in first. That's what you have to do. You got to put the big rocks in first, because the jar is going to fill up, and your big rocks will still be sitting on the side. That's the moral of the story. Now, most people don't get that, because that's how we've been trained to think. We've got to get the big rocks in first. Most people leave their big rocks sitting over there undone. Most people have a big rock that they have been, that's been obstructing their movement, sometimes for a lifetime. Your big rock may be internal or it may be external. It may be within you or it may be in a situation. It may be outside of you. It may be that you lack a particular goal. Whatever it is, you need to determine what is your big rock. Now, gang, we got 2 minutes to go before the end of the show here, but we're going to pick up right here. We're going to, again, redo number 7, but you've got a week to think about it and work on setting a deadline. Work on making a list of all the ways you're going to benefit from having your goal. And, of course, make a list of all the obstacles that stand between you. And I've got more good stuff on that. Real nice, Gerald Albright. I told you we had a good show on tap for you guys today. I want to thank my guest, Lieutenant, retired Navy Lieutenant Gwen Hall. I think these days, it's rare where you find people where you've been friends with it that long and it feels like the first day. Thank you, Gwen Hall, for coming on the show. I cherish our friendship, always will. Now, as we always do at the end of the show, I want to tell you guys to be true to yourselves. And that means simply that your words and actions match. And on top of that, I want you to be good to you. I want you to save your best behavior for those close to you, to the ones you love, not just for strangers. I want to send thanks out to Bob Adlock, Pat McMahon, JC up in San Fran. JB, we still miss you, brother. And, of course, to the Magic Man, maybe we should just call him, you know, the Snuggy Bear. He loves it, man. Well, he rolls with it. Snuggy Bear and, of course, the fabulous Natasha. Hey, gang, I hope to see you next week. Happy New Year to all you guys. Get busy on the goal setting, okay? Get busy working on those big rocks. Get them out of your way. Know that they're coming so they don't stop you down the line. My name is Mac. They call me the Mac Daddy. I'll see you next week. Peace. 3, 2, 1. I am out.